listening to Chrysalis Color, the podcast. Hello, this is Jorunn from Norway.
And Christine in Canada.
With a podcast about color analysis and how it applies to you in a practical way. We'll talk about how to use your colors to make your days brighter, your wardrobe more enjoyable, and your life easier.
We'll talk about topics that we find interesting, and we encourage you to submit your questions. A podcast listing is available at chrysaliscolor.com under the podcasts tab.
Welcome to episode 7, Harmony, Hair and Skin Tones, in which Christine and I invite you to join us as we talk about the meaning of harmony and how we might recognize it from our practical perspective. So, our first question, what is harmony? How can you tell when you've achieved it?
Harmony, it's that visual effect, isn't it? That goal that we have in mind as we put together our appearance. Harmony means agreement, as in, these things look pleasing together. They seem made for each other. But it's not enough for someone to declare, this is harmony. They might just be saying, this looks great to me.
Yes, we do have a tendency to project our own taste and expect others to see the world the way we do. It is important to say that harmony in this context is also about something more than the emotional peace that we feel when we see something. It also has a scientific side to it. Harmony in the analysis is how a given color or family of related colors appears next to you. And harmony differs wildly between seasons. I'm talking about in creating outfits. Harmony for a summer can be in outfits with colors being closer together in the scale of value, whereas harmony for a winter can be an outfit with high contrast in value.
Theoretically, harmony happens when colors in a group share certain properties. That sharing creates a sense of binding together, belonging together, like a bouquet, and being able to form these beautiful relationships between the colors in the group. Take two of your colors, take 10, take 60, lay them on a table or wear them in an outfit or a cosmetic design, and they would exist peacefully together. They wouldn't compete. One wouldn't sink, fade, jump ahead, or be distracting at the expense of any other. The viewer's attention would be divided evenly. Even though some colors might be darker or lighter, they have similar types of warmth, which means warmth derived from the same kind of yellow. Similar softness or brightness, as an outfit and jewelry, as hair color with skin tone, as eyeliner with eyeshadow. We want the parts to join to create a beautiful whole with no off notes. Your ear picks them up in music and your eye does in color. That sense of, what's that doing there? Or why would he wear this with that?
So the important question is, what does harmony and dissonance look like in real life? Harmony in real life is lipstick that puts healthy lips on a face without taking over or erasing the lips. Dissonance could be something like the outfit where your attention is held hostage by the necklace or the jacket. Harmony can be when a sweater and blouse and eyeshadow speak of sophisticated elegance. When your eyes love seeing this and you think, how did she know? Dissonance can be when highlights are too light and sharp and they're distracting more than anything else. And harmony is like that coral coat that brings a smile to your face every time your friend wears it. But when you try it on, it looks impossible. It's that sensation we have of feeling pleased and calm about looking at two things together and at the same time, rather than awkward to look or wanting to look away. There's a very physical sensation of wanting to keep looking the way we do at forests and flowers and a profoundly peaceful and appealing painting. I'm droning now.
I love your descriptions because they're from the world around us. We want our clothing, makeup, and hair to belong together and also with us. We've seen the eyeliner that takes attention away from the eye. We've seen the blush that's a little too hot for the eye color, the coat that gives skin a yellow cast or a pea soup texture. Something's off, you know. We wish there were a dial we could turn up or down. We get a kind of tight feeling, not in a good way. As Joran says, listening to our feelings is a good indicator of harmony. Let's try that exercise we talked about when we planned this show.
Oh, yes, yes. Let's tell them about that. Well, this is the exercise. As you know, we all people watch. We people watch in meetings, at a party, in airports, or at a cafe. So when we do, you can do this. First, pick two parts to look at the same time. Hair on a jacket, blush on skin, hair next to face, top next to face, anything really, any two things. Keep looking for 5 seconds, not any longer, because otherwise you'll start thinking anything is normal. So during this time, pay attention to how you feel, that physical reaction. Do you want to keep looking or do you feel uncomfortable? What's your physical feeling?
Yeah, and it's not just two colors. It extends to our holistic impression. What others register when we walk in the room or if they haven't seen us in a while, what do they remember after we leave? Other people see us head to toe, bumper to bumper, same as how we see them. If the colors are compatible and agreeable, it looks good. It feels good to look at. No part separates or stands out. No color in a group would change any other. And so important, our colors are included in this group, in this final composition. They're half of the impression. Why bother with colors that detract from our colors? Why change ourselves? Why not change our clothes? What's an example? Darkness of hair. At the place where hair color is dark or intense enough that the skin tone pales, they changed one another. They cannot exist together peacefully. They're unable to form a harmonious relationship. They're arguing. One's winning, and it's not the woman. Color analysis is about using your colors to your advantage, which this woman's hair is not doing. She's paying for the opposite.
Well, I think of relief and tension as something very tangible. We see it a lot during the draping process, the relief of one drape when it's replaced and the tension of the one we're comparing to. You can feel yourself relaxing when the right drape comes back on. And I think this relief or tension is a choice. We choose to bring a version of ourselves to the world that has less tension. What is it you often say, Christine? Something about wearing the colors that you are?
Right. The red of blush that looks best on our face, most belonging on our face, the healthiest, is the red already in our face. What other red would it be? And if it were given to us as a paint chip, well, that would be most useful information to have when we're standing at a makeup counter. We want blush that looks like part of the skin, not sitting on top and changing to a different color, not becoming invisible. We want blush to make the eyes more colorful and shiny, not dull down and not clash. Because the viewer's got no choice. They got to see blush and eyes at the same time. They got to see eyes and earrings at the same time too, which is worth thinking about. You know, when we talk about continuity between a person and their clothes, we don't mean a person blending away into their clothes. This is often mistaken for sharing. That person is less defined. They're harder to see. You can't tell where the clothes end and the person begins. The kind of sharing where one is taking over in a sneaky kind of way, you know, where the one person is losing. It's like a power game that slips under your radar. How does beige take over? But it absolutely can. The person drains away. Therefore, that's not harmony.
I just want to say something here about that we can see beauty and natural harmony as independent of fashion and aesthetics. I think that's an important point to make, that fashion and aesthetics is very much a cultural issue, don't you find? Remember, how we laugh now when we look at what we found beautiful and completely lovely in the 80s, and think of what they found fashionable in the Middle Ages, in the Victorian era, compared to what we find pleasurable to look at in our day and age. I think color harmony, as we find it in the color circle, is different from fashion statements. A season palette should rise above fashion. The main point is we should be able to express a season's colors palette in any kind of fashion trend.
This is such a good point. I speak with women in many parts of the world, and I always ask, how are women in your location influenced in their appearance choices? The answers are vastly different, even within a single country, a big country like the US. So much of fashion and self-perception is just conditioning, but we can see through it and see ourselves independent of time and place. We remain the same in any era, just as our coloring doesn't change, when the time of year does. We might pick lighter, brighter lip gloss in warm weather, but it's from the same family of colors, our family. If I'd known my colors in the 80s, my palette would be the same, just different styles and shapes. The best version of you is still the best. It's like the same, the strongest version of you is the strongest in any era or culture, and the healthiest version of you is the healthiest. Looking tired, heavy, dull is never the best version of an appearance in any era or culture.
Well, the season is your season, but the culture you live in makes you express it differently. So, Christine, if you move to Norway, you might buy a backpack and knit a sweater, but it will be in dark winter colors. And back in the 80s, our jackets would have big shoulder pads, but in our colors, you would have a dark winter color, really big shoulder pad.
I could hardly imagine it.
I shudder to think of it, yeah. But yes, it was fabulous.
To me, color, it's like any form of communication, like one letter of the alphabet, say G. What's it for? What can it do? All alone? Well, not a lot. Put a few letters together and you have a word. Go. Gold. Soon enough, you got a story. You have a poem. You have a play. Color palettes are like that, and so are entire appearances. The sum is more than the parts, and the parts together work towards a single whole. Because, you know, too often we add colors to our appearance in isolation. This hair color or that one. This coat or that one. Without looking at the whole picture, next thing you know, highlights are too warm in a way that nobody, including the woman wearing them, would have paired with her eye color in a print or an outfit. But this is what frames the face. This is what the viewer's eyes take in every time they look at this woman. Sure, orange and blue can intensify one another, but wearing someone else's orange, these blue eyes go gray. For these blue eyes, the right orange might be cooler, like pink coffee, warm rosewood, cooler, darker, say some types of Japanese maple leaves. I saw this fabulous image on Pinterest. It's a musical score, an empty page, blank, with a pile of loose notes lying beneath. And your creative mind is already starting to imagine what could they do, while your logical mind is, you know, back there trying to catch up, thinking, what is this? What am I looking at? Those loose notes are your colors. What can they do together that they could not do apart? One of my favorite questions.
I love to think about that musical notes image. And I want to see if I can find it on Pinterest, or maybe you put it in our show notes, Christine?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll do that. Okay, second question. Do you ever see people colored out of harmony? No, is the short answer. If we define harmony as clash, discomfort, feeling some element is outside or apart, then no. But human diversity is so wide that sometimes different feels as if it's apart. What's needed is to learn a new way for harmony to look. It's like learning to appreciate two new tastes together or a new kind of music. A new experience, an acquired taste, but new to you, doesn't necessarily mean negative. For example, red hair in winter wardrobes, say with fuchsia. When you see it, You might be a little hypnotized. You might be a little challenged. Never seen this before. I think I need a moment here. But there's magic. It would take more effort to look away than to keep looking. We've posted an image in the show notes of my daughter taken about 5 years ago. A true winter, tested many times, wearing a fuchsia dress. Her natural hair color may be more wine brown these days. But is this unattractive, or are we being presented with a new to us version of beauty? Is our instinct to look away? Are the colors in the composition detracting from each other? Are they enhancing to one another? Are they doing nothing? Do we feel curious, like we're trying to understand a puzzle? Opinions may vary, and that's fine. Professional color analysts are trained to have objective ways of answering these questions.
How about a woman whose hair was once dark brown and her silver hair clay came in as platinum blonde? The people in her life, and she herself, they're presented with a new version of her, but her colors remain harmonious. She still tests into the same season, bright winter, that she would have in the youth. And for me, I've never met anyone with the wrong silver hair for them. If a color, if a person were colored non-harmoniously, what might that look like? I imagine it would be like any other form of non-harmony, displeasing, altered in shape or color. We see it all the time when hair colors are changed.
Yeah, we sure do. That's such a good question, too. What does non-harmony look like? Angelina Jolie might be a soft summer, very common type of natural coloring where I live in Canada. Many women in this group color their hair blonde. To my eye, it doesn't do Ms. Jolie any favors. In fact, they made her blonde for a movie. I think it was called Girl Interrupted, you know, looked like a 3-year-old cut her bangs with their craft scissors. Not only did she lose her visual magic as a blonde, we perceived a compromised individual. I didn't see the movie. I don't know how she was compromised. I didn't need to. The image was enough. They made that choice intentionally. How about warmth if you Google Angelina Jolie hair and look at the image gallery? Is Ms. Jolie best when they warm her hair? Only to a point, and then she begins to disappear. Does she have a darkness ceiling after which her skin pales? Yeah, sure she does. To a very large extent, all soft summers react to hair color in this way. These are examples of visual non-harmony.
Unusual looks tend to happen in winter groups where there's like so much contrast, both in colors and in value. And this is mirrored in their natural appearance. Silver hair that comes in platinum blonde and a spoke of rust in a blue eye. Well, that would be bright spring, possibly. They often present a new way of understanding harmony that we don't see commonly, or I don't. Though it might be a normal part of the natural world, depending on where you live, you ask, why does this work when my logical mind or my mother tells me otherwise?
Yes, mothers. This is why calibrated testing is so important, finding objective truth. As Neil deGrasse Tyson says in the excellent trailer for his masterclass, objective truth means it's true no matter what, no matter who, no matter when, back to fashion and era. Rather than relying on taste, we can go back to harmony as equivalence of energy, neither one at the expense of the other. Two people might disagree on what looks good together, but they tend to agree when asked, in this color pair, which one faded? Which edge is fuzzier? Those types of questions folks tend to see the same way. Neither one changes the other. So if ginger hair and a siren red dress and turquoise eyes can be present together with the same and unaltered energy, it's time to wonder if we're being shown something new to us, yet true. Sometimes I think the mystery is the magic, and it's okay to let that be.
You know, Christine, when listening to you here, it gets me thinking that red-haired bright winters are more common than in true winter, and they show an unexpected but exquisite harmony when they're wearing their bright winter palette.
I agree. It's one of the most beautiful visuals that we're given. It's most important to distinguish different from wrong. At least as often, difference, right, it's the answer we've been waiting for. It's the one that finally makes sense of things. Our perceptions need time to grow and learn. When any of our five senses are presented with, are challenged with information in a way they've never seen it before, say an innovative or unique perfume, which is why we've chosen perfume for the image for today's show.
Mm-hmm. So, this was the long and detailed way to say, no, we haven't really seen people colored out of harmony. And when we do, it's always because they've been messing with their natural harmony. But we're also often asked if natural hair color can clash with season. Christine, can it?
No, never. Mothers and hair colorists fan this fire. How often do we hear of mothers who tell their daughters that their hair color is wrong, start coloring it at the age of 8 or 12 or 14, maybe a previous generation of mothers, but it's a common story for color analysts, right? Yoren, have you heard that one? You've heard that story? Mm-hmm. You have too,
yeah. Have.
Yes. Bad enough when we do this to ourselves. How does that woman go through life knowing she is perfect as she was made? And have faith that the world is filled with colors that make the best of her as she is, when she's been led to believe that she is fundamentally wrong or less than. We're not here for the approval of parents or our children or our partners. We are here to find our unique talent and purpose. Others may be here to keep us on course when we overcompensate. It is good to push back sometimes. And mom, you are wrong. There is nothing maybe at this point to be done about that except pay it forward. Make sure our daughters know they are perfect and they do not need fixing.
Well, I agree 100%. Now, another reader asked, could hair be warmer, lighter, darker, cooler than the average images for the season, so that the season's typical best colors look strange next to it, affecting how they wear their season?
Again, no. We're back to putting different and wrong on separate shelves. We really got to dig up what we've been taught and take a moment and bravely express the world as we see it. Those average images, they rarely exist. Coloring as 100% textbook for the season, maybe 1 in 10. Some seasons more than others. Red-haired winters, sure. Mostly bright season people, not Prince Harry red necessarily, but it's like silver hair in warm seasons. There's a shade for every person, and it is perfect and it is magnificent. Dark-haired summers, absolutely. Once a color is dark, it's hard to know how soft or saturated it is. We tend to think dark colors are more intense, but lift that hair onto a winter head, wouldn't look nearly so dark, and it would be the right coolness and softness for a summer.
As humans, we do like packaged information and predictability, don't we? We like things presented the way we're used to having it, rather than the chaos or disruption of having to adjust. It's just so much nicer to confirm a belief we have, congratulate ourselves on being right, and carry on. And we also have an easier time learning new things than replacing a belief. So we do resist difference.
I often compare it to traveling. If we travel looking for things to be just as they were at home, well, then we return to the familiar right where we were when we left. Nature is bigger than we can imagine. It's not infinite, though. It behaves in accordance with certain laws. If we created our appearance within the natural laws, like the laws that govern light and color, imagine what we could have on our side. The desert in rainbow colors? Why would anybody do that? That's just weird. It's unrelatable. But us owning the potential beauty of our own colors and doing with them what nature does? Welcome to personal color analysis.
Well, I have nothing to add to that. That was very well said. So,
thank you.
On to our third and last question. Does color analysis work for skin of any color? The short answer to this is yes. And it's very refreshing to be able to say yes to a question.
Yeah, I agree.
I just discovered that. No.
I know. I thought that too.
Yes. Anyway, so does color analysis work for skin of any color? Yes, it does. And it's very tempting to just say that and say, next question, please. But right. No, we're not going to do that. Of course, being us, we're going to elaborate. And this is my question. I brought this to the podcast. I think I read it in a blog article somewhere, or maybe I heard it on a podcast. I'm not sure if I remember correctly. But anyway, this was a woman of color writing or speaking. And the topic was that she was just thrilled with having had a color analysis and gave a wonderful account of it, which was really nice. I loved that. But she also said that not all color analysis systems can be used with people of color. And that just made my jaw drop. And I thought we might want to address that misconception in our podcast. Color analysis is a process that analyzes the undertone of your skin thoroughly with the correct lighting and drapes that are curated and combined in order to really show how your skin reacts to different colors. Skin is skin, color is color, reaction is reaction. I fail to grasp how there might be skin tones that escape the changes or reactions that this process reveals. So my first reaction was to proclaim that color analysis, when done by a certified personal color analyst in the proper lighting, blah, 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 certified drapes, it does indeed work on all colors of skin. The reactions are there. The difference between this drape and that drape is still obvious, no matter what the color of your skin is. But there is something more to this. There's probably something I'm missing. So why would someone be of the opinion that not all color analysis is suitable for all color skin?
Yeah, you know, or I sort of have trouble grasping, why would some color analysis systems work for colored skin? What would be different about the ones that don't? The one reason...
Well, we only know ours, so...
Yeah, I think, well, what is it, what do they do differently that it doesn't work? Color is color, just like you say. I think one reason might be that folks might have trouble understanding how color analysis would work for all colors of skin is that it just seems like it should be different. Mm-hmm. It can be really hard to believe something you can't imagine. And the solution is just to see it happen in an objective way. Student color analysts often worry about analyzing people of deeper skin tones, and they're surprised to find it's not that different at all. As you say, color is color, reactions are reaction. There may be more surface melanin or deeper keratin, the pigments that create human colors in the skin, along with hemoglobin beneath the skin. But those pigments react to color in natural, expected ways. Another possible reason that folks can be challenged with how it could work with any color of skin goes back to something Joran brought up earlier, which is the cultural interpretation of colors. Sometimes red nails, yellow hair are the norm, bold and bright color, or urban uniforms are black and gray. These are what the people in that culture identify as beautiful and belonging. But color is just color. It behaves in accordance with natural laws. What we choose to do with it, that's up to us. Washed out color is washed out on a winter, whether she's Caucasian, African, or Indian. Candy colors look inexpensive on autumns, while textured rich colors look outstanding. Be the autumn of brown hair or red hair, First Nations or Indigenous, whether they live according to Canadian, Australian, Russian, or Egyptian appearance goals. You know, I try to keep in mind that the person who made the statement meant no harm. They stated what they believed to be true. But it fills me with sadness. We are all so profoundly human, so much more the same than we are different. And these seem to be the very sentiments learned, because children don't make these distinctions, that historically have caused such division among us, based in misunderstanding, confusion, maybe some fear. I take pride in a career that celebrates the beauty of each human being, of loving color in all its forms, and finding joy in the energy of life. How do we look at the video of the cast of The Lion King singing in the open air, the beautiful people in the audience, and not feel more sense of unity and family than looking for truth and beliefs that serve to keep us apart? Anyhow, to reiterate what Yaron said, personal color analysis absolutely does work for skin of any and every color.
Indeed. Well, thank you so much for joining us and listening to our opinionated opinions, and we'll be back with more talk about color analysis in the wild in 2 weeks' time.